Today we're going to do chapter 25 of Tehillim, and this is, my guess, is going to be one of the lesser known chapters that we're going to study. And I am away next week. I'm in Israel for the Brody wedding, but I'll be teaching, Rabbi Gober's going to Israel earlier, so I'm going to be teaching the Parsha class on Tuesday, not teaching on Thursday. In the week we get back, please God, we're going to start with Kabbalah Shabbos. So we're going to hopefully go through all of Kabbalah Shabbos, understand the significance of that. But for today, we're doing chapter 25. While the chapter might not be familiar to you, I will say that there are a few somewhat prominent Jewish songs, bless you, that appear in this chapter of Tehillim. So maybe as we're reading some of the lines, you'll say, I recognize that from somewhere, and there'll be a reason why you recognize it from somewhere. The other thing, anyone Sephardi here? What? So Sephardim, again, they're different customs. But according to the Rambam, you're supposed to read it every day after Shir Shel Yom. And some, I think nowadays, they even read it near Tachanun. Right? So for Sephardim, this will be a very famous chapter of Tehillim. For Ashkenazim, less so. But let's learn it. Even Ashkenazim should understand chapters of Tehillim. And again, sometimes we're going to read chapters that are more popular, and sometimes we'll read chapters that are less popular. And I try to mix those up on purpose, because the goal isn't just to familiarize ourselves with that which we're already familiar with, but to become familiar with things that we are not yet familiar with. Okay, so chapter 25 opens up with the following line. LeDavid, Elecha Adonai Nafshi Es Esa. First of all, such beautiful, magnificent words, right? To God, Elecha Hashem Nafshi Esa. What's the word Esa mean? It carries up, it raises up. So to you, Hashem, my soul is drawn, is almost the imagery. And Rav Hirsch points out here that the subscription to this psalm is LeDavid, not Mizmor LeDavid or LeDavid Mizmor, right? More often than not, when we start Tehillim, that's where we're used to. A song of David, to David a song. We've discussed many times the difference between those two. Was David originally inspired and therefore he's saying, or was he not yet inspired, and the song inspired him? Okay, so we've discussed both formulations of Mizmor LeDavid versus LeDavid Mizmor, but here it's just LeDavid. So says refers something magnificent, that this was David HaMelech simply stating his emotions and his thoughts that fill his soul at that moment in time. So David HaMelech is sitting there, you picture him in the middle of the night, right? Middle of the night, the Gemara in Brachos tells us David HaMelech used to get up, and he'd be up in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden he'd say, you know what? Elecha Hashem nafshi esa. My heart is just, my soul is just carried up directly to you. Okay, you'll notice as we go through this, that this is an alphabetical arrangement with a few notable exceptions. Okay, says Rav Hirsch, that this shows that David intended this psalm to not be kept only before his own eyes, but in the minds of all the rest of mankind by constant repetition. Now, anytime you see Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dal, like Ashrei, it's because there was a desire for a certain familiarity with it. Then he writes the following. As we can, right. What's this chapter about? So says Rav Hirsch, he'll give you a little bit of a foreshadow. David is beset by dangers resulting from the hatred of his fellow man. Yet in his heart is still set upon attaining moral and spiritual perfection, which he knows he can seek and find only with the help and the guidance of Hashem. Right? We have to remember who David HaMelech was. David HaMelech wasn't sitting around eating bonbons all day. Right? He wasn't watching Judge Judy, and he wasn't watching, I don't know, what else do people watch in the middle of the day? Bold and the Beautiful, is that still on? I don't know. Price is Right? I don't know. Right? MASH?
Not anymore.
He just passed away yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
The creator of MASH died yesterday. I only know because in between my house and home, I was listening. All right, anyways, that's what I grew up to. The Andy Griffith Show and MASH. That was what was allowed in my house growing up, okay? So David HaMelech is sitting there, but you have to remember, David HaMelech wasn't sitting around twiddling his thumbs. Who was he? He was a king, right? He was a general. He was a very powerful individual. So people are always gunning for David HaMelech, right? Again, Lahavdil a million times over, but picture modern day politics. Right, where everyone's trying to backstab you and undercut you, right? So that's David HaMelech. People are always trying to get him. The greatness of David HaMelech is despite that he's an enormously busy person. He has tremendous responsibilities for the functioning of society, for the economic well-being of society. When David HaMelech wakes up in the middle of the night, what is driving his narrative, Eilecha Hashem Nafshi Esa. My soul is being carried to you. I woke up in the middle of the night last night, 2 in the morning. Halavai, I would say that that was what was going through my mind at 2 in the morning as I was checking emails, which is the worst possible thing you can do, right? But L'David Eilecha Hashem Nafshi Esa. That's what David HaMelech is thinking about, that his soul is drawn towards Hashem. Pasuk Bet. Eilecha Elohai Bechabatachti Alevosha Al Yaltsu Oivaili. So Elohai, my God, Bechabatachti, in you I put my faith. Alevosha. Right? Don't let me be disappointed, Hashem. Al Yaltsu Oivaili. Don't let my enemies rejoice over me. So again, David HaMelech foreshadows what exactly is bothering him. And what's bothering him is this notion that his enemies are surrounding him and seeking to destroy him. The Malbim writes the following, right? Because you'll notice that it starts twice. I mentioned to you it's in the alphabetical order. So the first pasuk Aleph, is LeDavid Eilecha. Second pasuk is Elokai Bicha Batachti. So all the Meforshim point out that the first pasuk is really just a header. In other words, not really yet part of the chapter of Tehillim. And so says the Malbim on the first pasuk Zeh Hu Kotev HaMizmor V'Yesodo. It's a thesis statement for the entire chapter of Tehillim. Bo Yomar, which is to say, Shekamo Shehamora Bechitzim Yasim Lo Os Sheileha Yora Lamatara. The same way a teacher first tells the students what it is we're going to get out of this class, and then they go and teach the class. That's exactly what Hashem and David HaMelech are doing here. And therefore, David HaMelech says, V'amar Rak Eilecha Hashem Esa Nafshi. David HaMelech summarizes his entire life, all of his strivings, with one sentence. God, my soul is drawn to you. Says the Malbim, Ata ikar magamati lo davar zulasecha. Hashem, you are the purpose of everything. You are the be-all and end-all of everything that I aspire for. And while David HaMelech was involved in the economics, and while David HaMelech was involved in the military, and while David HaMelech had to put food on the table, and he was responsible for an enormous amount of people, David HaMelech says, Ikar magamati, which means my entire purpose is lo davar zulasecha. Nothing else. It's only about you. Shekol inyanai ata hu tachlit mevukashi. Everything I have, you are the be-all and end-all of everything in my life. V'chol cheftzi, everything that I have, everything that I desire, heim rak emtzaim lahagia al yadam el tachlit azeh. Everything I have is simply to draw me towards you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So David HaMelech is not casting aspersion on the fact that he is a successful person and that he has material responsibilities. But he's simply reminding himself, and therefore he's reminding us, that all of those material things and possessions and obligations are simply a means to a greater end. That end, of course, a relationship with Hashem. The Rambam talks about this in his Perush Mishnayos. The Rambam, I believe it's the sixth chapter of the Perush Mishnayos, but don't quote me on the chapter. But I believe in the sixth chapter of Perush Mishnayos, the Rambam develops this entire thesis. The Perush Mishnayos was his commentary, his introduction to Perkei Avos. And there the Rambam writes that every time a person does something physical in this world, they're supposed to stop before and say, Hashem, I'm doing this for you. Right? In other words, we don't just do physical things in this world because we're physical beings. You know who does that? Animals. Right? An animal needs to eat. An animal needs to sleep. An animal has desires. But they're doing that simply because that's their animalistic instinct. What differentiates us from animals, says the Rambam, we have all of those needs. And we're going to do all of those things today. We're going to eat, we're going to sleep, right? We're going to do all of that. But the question is, why are we doing it? Are we doing it because we're animals, right? That we're nefesh bahamis, in the words of the Baal HaTanya? Or are we doing it because it drives us to a greater good? And so the Rambam explicitly says that that means that before you go to sleep at night, don't just go to sleep at night and say, oh, I'm so tired, and close your eyes. But go to sleep at night and say, Hashem, I'm going to sleep now so I can get a good night to sleep so I could serve you better tomorrow. And before you eat lunch today, don't just ravenously run into the kitchen and scarf down whatever you have. And even if you make your bracha, shkayach, right? But the Rambam says, no, before you sit down and have lunch, say to yourself, I'm not just eating this because I'm an animal. I'm eating this because I need nutrition. And with nutrition, I'll be able to serve you that much stronger.
That's the consciousness.
What?
With consciousness.
Right, the consciousness, exactly, mindfulness. Right? So the Rambam goes through almost every one of our physical activities throughout the day, and he says that we don't just do things because We have a drive to do it, an animalistic, innate drive to do it. But we're supposed to stop ourselves and remind ourselves of why we do it. Why do we eat? Why do we sleep? Why do we go to work? Right? You and I both know a person can go to work his entire life and do it for selfish physical reasons. I want to make money. It's honor, right? Or a person can go to work and he can go to work every day and say to himself, Hashem, I'm going to work so that I can put food on my table, so that I can sustain my family, so that I could be in a position to give tzedakah and give charity. So that's what the Malbim is saying here, right? Eilecha Hashem esa nafshi is the broad statement. It's the, so to speak, mission statement of what it means to be a Jew. That whatever I do physically in this world, it's Eilecha Adonai nafshi efsa. It's simply a means to a greater end, and that end is to be able to connect with you, Hashem. Okay? Pasuk Gimel. Gam, okay, so we're up to the Gimel. Gam, ko koivecha, lo yevoshu, yevoshu habogdim, reikam. So what's koivecha? Yeah, what's mishimikavim? I understand. That's like looking up in English. You know, what does it mean to walk? The art of walking. So I know, right, what's ko koivecha? All those who hope for you. We're going to sing that in Shoshanas Yaakov in a month and a little bit, which means that Pesach is in 2 months. And I got my first Pesach Shiloh last night. That was it. That was it. Now it's all downhill from there, okay? So Kol Koivecha means, do you mind getting me a chumash? The blue one right in the middle there. So Kol Koivecha means that all those who hope in you, Hashem, lo yevoshu, that they should not be forsaken. Yevoshu habogdim reikam. Thank you so much. That who should be forgotten, who should be destroyed? Habogdim. What's bogdim? Betrayer. Right? No, there's those who betray against you, Hashem. Rav Hirsch points out something magnificent. And if you take away nothing else from today, take this away. The word koivecha, which we literally translate as hope, and I think that's how, if you look at Art Scroll or most translations, that's how they were translated. Rav Hirsch points out that is an incorrect translation of the word koivecha. And how does Rav Hirsch know that? Because what Rav Hirsch oftentimes does is he looks at other places in Tanakh where that word is used, and he says if it means that over there, then it has to mean this over here. Okay? I'll give you an example. The Gemara says by the story of Rav Elezer ben Dordaya, very famous story in Maseches Avodah Zarah, someone who lived a very immoral lifestyle. And at the end of his life, he does tshuva. And the Gemara says that a person can do tshuva even b'sha'a achat. Which sha'a, we think means 1 hour, 1 minute. In other words, some people take a whole life to do tshuva. Rav Elezer ben Dordaya, because he was so overwhelmed with regret, he was able to do tshuva instantly. Okay? But the Meforshim point out that if you look at the first time the word sha'a is used in Tanakh, it's used within what context? Kain and Hevel, right? El Hevel uminchato sha'a, which means that Hashem turned toward one sacrifice and turned away from the other sacrifice. So the word sha'a doesn't just mean hour, it means to turn in a certain direction. So what it means that a person can acquire the world to come in one sha'a doesn't mean that tshuva happens instantaneously. It means that with one turn, that with one shift, that with one change in your life, you could actually change the entire trajectory of your entire life. So that's one example. So Hirsch points out here that the word koivecha, the first time it's used in Tanakh, does not mean hope. What does it mean? To gather. Very good. You're on the ball today. How do you know? Good. The pasuk says in creation, the third day of creation, Vayomer Elohim, Yikavu Hamayim Itachar Hashamayim, El Makom Echad, Vatereya Yabasha Vayichein. Right, remember, there was water all over the place. Hashem says, I need to make room for landmass. So Yikavu Hamayim, which means all of the water should be gathered. It means it should be collected. In other words, it should flow toward one area. Right, when you collect water, how do you do it? So you flow it into a very specific area, and that's how you collect water. So Rav Hirsch points out that the word koivecha does not just mean to hope for. It means it's to strive towards a certain goal. It means to flow or to move towards something specific. And therefore, kaveh el Hashem means to flow and to be constantly be moving in the direction of Hashem. So it's not just that I hope in Hashem. Hope in Hashem is kind of this like amorphous idea. Great, what does it mean to hope in Hashem? Kaveh al Hashem, says Rav Hirsch, means that everything I do is moving in the direction of Hashem. Which if you think about it, fits beautifully with the Malbim that we said on the first Pasuk. It means my entire day, no matter what I'm doing, whether I'm at work, whether I'm at the supermarket, whether I'm at the gym, whether I'm at the DMV, whatever I'm doing, everything I'm doing, well, the DMV, there's no way, there's no godlessness in the DMV, right? Right? But everything I'm doing is Yekavu El Hashem. It's drawing me towards Hashem. And that has to be our mentality throughout everything we do. Chazal gave us tools for that, by the way. Right? The tools are brachos, davening, right? These are all ways that Chazal gave us opportunities to remind ourselves that what we're doing is directed towards Hashem. So I just had my coffee, okay? And before I had my coffee, instead of it just being an animalistic, I'm an addict, right? My name is Philip Moskowitz, I'm an addict because I'm addicted to coffee. But no, when I say my bracha and I acknowledge that it comes from Hashem, so that's Kaveh al Hashem. I'm drawing myself towards Hashem at that moment in time. Everything we do during our day is supposed to draw us towards that goal, and Chazal therefore gave us the opportunity to remind us of that. Right? Why does the halacha care that I put my right shoe on first, then my left shoe on, then I tie my left shoe, then I tie my right shoe? Who cares? Talk about minutia, talk about detail, God really cares. The answer is we could argue whether Hashem really cares, but what halacha is clearly doing is serving as reminders for us. So when I put on my shoes in the morning, I'm supposed to stop for a second and say, wait a second, there's God in the world. And I'm putting on my shoes and I'm going to walk a lot today, but my steps should be towards God. So says Rav Hirsch, that's Yekavu. That's the words that we write. Gam kol koivecha lo yivoshu. Anyone who's constantly being drawn towards Hashem, whose days should flow constantly towards Hashem, that is lo yivoshu. Okay? And he says that bogdim is the exact opposite of koivecha. Because what's bogdim? Koivecha is those who feel drawn to Hashem with every fiber of their being and who will never forsake Him. Bogdim, right, however, shall never be deceived in their trust, the koivecha shall never be deceived in their trust. Even at first, they seem unable to attend what is commonly thought of as success. Right? We have ups and downs. The presence of God, which they seek with their obedient, loyal endeavors, does not depend on whether or not they are successful as compared to other men. Right? David HaMelech, remember here, there are people that are out to get him. So David HaMelech is reminding him of what's important and what's not important. That their supposed success doesn't define David HaMelech. What defines David HaMelech is one thing and one thing only, and that's his relationship with Hashem. Okay? Bogdim, he says, on the other hand, are people who break faith with God for the sake of alien interests will find that he has committed this breach of faith in vain, and he will be grievously disappointed. So if koivecha are those who everything they do are drawn towards Hashem, that bogdim, someone who rebels against Hashem, is someone who does things in this world for alien purposes. I do it for myself, I do it for honor, I do it for wealth, right? Those are all things that are bogdim. Okay, so a beautiful insight from Rav Hirsch. Okay, Pasuk Dalet. Derachecha Adonai hodieni, your ways Hashem, may you show me. Or chosecha lamdeni, again, your ways, may you teach me. Hadricheni b'amitecha, again, teach me your way, teach me your ways. V'lamdeni ki ata Elohei Ishi, because you are the God, you are salvation. Oscha kivisi kol hayom. Again, that word, all day, I am drawn towards you. You are my northern light, so to speak. Zechor rachamecha Adonai v'chasadecha. Hashem, remember your mercy and your kindness, ki me'olam heima, because they are eternal. What is this talking about here? Says Rashi, mi'emos adam harishon, that God, your compassion, goes all the way back to the time of adam harishon. Shamarta lo b'yom achalecha mimenu mos tamus, because you say that the day you eat from the fruits, you're going to die. V'nasata lo yom mishalcha shum elef shanim. And yet you forgave Adam HaRishon. So this notion of mercy goes back all the way to the time of Adam Arishon. Therefore, we say in Pasuk Vav, Zechora Chamecha Hashem V'chasadecha Hashem, your compassion goes all the way back to the time of Gan Eden. And as I've shared many times in the past, I shared it actually just this week, but the story of Gan Eden is not a story of perfection. The story of Gan Eden is a story of what happens after you make a mistake, right? Gan Eden was never the be-all and end-all of Jewish existence. It was never meant to be that way, right? We were never meant to exist in Gan Eden. And the reason why we know we were never meant to exist in Gan Eden is because there are two places in Tanakh that you're not allowed to go back to. One is Mitzrayim. We're going to read about that in this week's Parsha. And the other is Gan Eden, right? After Adam and Chava are kicked out of Gan Eden, what does Hashem say? He puts the Kruvim there, right? And they're not allowed back in. And if you look throughout Tanakh, not one person ever tries to get back to Gan Eden. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Shlomo, David, none of them are ever trying to get back to Gan Eden. Where are they trying to get to? Eretz Yisrael, right? That's all of Tanakh summarized basically right there, okay? No one's ever trying to get back to Gan Eden. Why don't we want to get back to Gan Eden? The way Gan Eden is depicted, certainly in Western movies, right? It's idyllic, it's utopia. So why don't we want to get back there? The answer is that mankind was never meant to exist in utopia. We specifically and purposefully, by the way, we're not created as perfect human beings. Hashem knew exactly what he was getting when he created us. He knew he was creating imperfect beings. So what do we say? We say when Adam and Chava were thrown out of Gan Eden, they go where? They go, I believe it was a movie even.
East of Eden.
East of Eden, right? East of Eden. Okay? And what do we say? Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha V'nashuva. Hashem, bring me back to you, I will return to you. Chadesh Yameinu, return our days. Kikedem, to the east of Eden. And as I pointed out many times, it's so striking that we don't say, Hashem, bring us back to Gan Eden. We don't ask Hashem ever to bring us back to Gan Eden. We ask Hashem to bring us back to where Adam and Chava got thrown out of Gan Eden. It's such a strange request. It'd be the equivalent of someone throwing their child out of the house. And 20 years later, the child comes back and says, you know, Mom and Dad, I pine for those cold nights on the street after you threw me out of your house. That's like where I always aspire to get back to. When you were so mad at me that you threw me out of the house and I had to sleep on the street. You would never say something like that. And yet we say it all the time. Chadesh Yameinu Kekedem, Hashem, return us back to East of Eden where you threw us out after we messed up and you threw us out of utopia. So the answer obviously is, and what happens east of Eden? It's where Adam and Chava make a mistake and then rebuild after that mistake. Okay, what do they do immediately after they get kicked out of Gan Eden? Very first thing, what do? They build a family. They recreate. Right? That's exactly what we want to communicate. Chadesh Yameinu Kekedem is we tell ourselves, Hashem, we're not going to be perfect. We're never going to be perfect. But return us back to the place where you give us a second chance, where you'll always give us the ability to do tshuva for our mistakes and to start again after making a mistake. So that's all here. Zechora chamecha, shever chasadecha, Hashem, remember the kindness that you displayed all the way back in Gan Eden, not the perfect Gan Eden, but kikedem of Gan Eden. After you threw us out of Gan Eden, you gave us a second chance. That's zechora chamecha, Hashem, remember that. Don't remember the sins of our youth. Only remember your chesed. Leman tuvcha Adonai, because you are only goodness, Hashem. Okay. The Meforshim point out that tshuva is a double-edged sword. Right. That on the one, or I should say differently, Hashem's memory is a double-edged sword. That on the one hand, we know that Hashem remembers everything. And therefore, Hashem remembers the kindness of Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov and Noach, right? We say it every year on Rosh Hashanah. Malchiyot Zichronos. Part of Zichronos, all of Zichronos, is that Hashem remembers everything. Hashem remembers the kindness of our forefathers. Hashem remembers how we were so loyal and faithful to Him in the desert, right? But if Hashem remembers everything, what else does He remember? He remembers all the things that we did bad. So the greatness of tshuva, or the greatness of Hashem, is that He has selective memory. Right? By definition, Hashem has selective memory. And that's part of our emunah. That's part of our belief in the concept of tshuva, the illogical concept of tshuva led, is that we believe that on the one hand, Hashem remembers all the good that Klal Yisrael has done throughout eternity. On the other hand, we know that Hashem is willing to forgive and forget very quickly and very easily. And perhaps our mandate to mimic Hashem and to imitate Hashem requires the same thing of us. That on the one hand, we're supposed to remember people's kindness, and on the other hand, we're supposed to be a little bit more forgiving, and we need selective memory when it comes to each other as well. You oftentimes see the opposite. That people are much more quick to remember the bad, and they forget the good. We should be remembering the good and forgetting the bad. Yeah.
Pasuk Dalet and Hey seem to be out of sequence, because the beginning is people making fun of him.
Right.
Okay. Then he's saying to God, hey, help me out here. Wipe the slate clean. Why is he saying God teach him? Teach him what?
So there are clearly four different themes that are discussed here. Right? There's savior from enemies. There's forgiveness, there's an awareness of Hashem, and we'll see later on, there's a request from Hashem to put him on the right path. It's a good question, why do they work out in the way that they do? I'm not 100% sure. It's a good question, though. I don't know, I can look more carefully now that you sensitized me to that. But I'm not sure. Maybe because they need to fit in the olive base. No, we'll have to come to something better than that. Okay, Pasuk, right, exactly. Pasuk 8. Tovi Yashar Adonai Al Kein Yorech Hatim Baderech Hashem, you are perfect, you are righteous, Al Kein Yorech Hatim Baderech, therefore you're going to put those who sin on the correct path. Says Rashi, what does it mean to put those who sin on the correct path? One word, tshuva. That's tshuva. And Hashem gives us the capacity to do better next time. Pasuk 9, Yadrech Anavim Bamishpat, you should put the humble people on the right way of judgment, v'ilamed anavim darcho, and again, those who are humble, you should teach them your way. Kol orchos adonai chesed v'emes, all the ways of God are righteous and they're true. Lenotre brisove dosav, to those who guard your covenant and your rules. Leman shimcha adonai, do it for your sake, Hashem. V'salachta lavoni kiravu, and forgive me because my sins are many. What's the Leman Shimcha Adonai? Right? We say this all the time. We say it in Aser Simei Tshuva. We say, Zachreinu L'chaim, Melech HaFetz B'chaim, V'kasveinu Sefer HaChaim, Leman Cha Elokim Chaim. Right? Why is it for your sake, Hashem? So again, you could think of many answers. The one that jumped out at me was the argument that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to make to Hashem very quickly. Where when the Jewish people came up in the Daf, three days ago, that when Klal Yisrael sinned at Har Sinai, in the aftermath of Har Sinai, so Hashem comes and says, I'm going to wipe them all out. And Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Hashem with one of the most audacious claims in really all of world history. He says, if you wipe the people out, what are the nations of the world going to say about you? They're going to say, yeah, you could defeat Paro, but you were scared of bringing them into the land of Israel because of the seven kings. Right? Can you imagine stating that argument before Hashem? That Hashem, don't save the Jewish people necessarily because they're worthy. Save the Jewish people because of what people are going to say about you. Right? And Hashem says, you know what? You're right. It's like such a crazy argument, but that's the Leman Shimcha. Right? In other words, Hashem, since we are a reflection of you, so therefore what happens to us is a reflection on you. So Leman Shimcha, for your sake, Hashem, forgive us. Because therefore, people will say nice things about you. So now we transition a little bit, where we turn our focus to a description of the ideal person, right? What is the path that we've been talking about? Who is the person who is God-fearing? Yorenu baderech yivchar. Hashem will lead him on the chosen path. Now, what's the chosen path? So the Radak points out that there can be two chosen paths. One is the path that God chooses. The other is a path that man chooses, right? What does that mean, the path that man chooses? It means that we're constantly making choices in our lives, right? And the choices that we make, Hashem supports us in those choices. The Gemara says that. B'derech she'adam rotze leilech molichen oso. That if I want to go down a certain path, so Hashem will give me the siyata deshmaya to go down a certain path, right? But we're ultimately responsible for the path that we're on. That comes back to the Sha'achas. We can change our trajectory. We decide what path we're on, whatever path we decide that we want to go on, Hashem will give us the Siyata Deshmaya to be on that path. Okay? The Midrash over here points out that this, we actually have models throughout Tanakh which help us out with this. Right? So the Midrash says, Mizeh Ha'ish, who is the person? So the Midrash gives numerous examples of who that person can be. So first the Midrash says, Zeh Avram. You want to know what path you should be on? Look towards the prototype of Avram Avinu. As the Pasuk says, Ki atah yadati ki yirei Elokim atah. Avram Avinu is described as a yirei Elokim. So then we say, Yoreinu b'derech yivchar. Hashem, show me a model of someone who I can follow. Hashem says, I gave you Avram Avinu. And then, Davar acher mi'aish, ze Yosef. As the Pasuk says, Vayimtzeehu ish. Yirei Hashem, es Elokim ani yirei. Right? In other words, by Yosef Avin, by Yosef Atzadik, we have these definitions. And then it says, Davar acher, ze Levi. Because the Pasuk says, Le'ish chasidecha. So in other words, why is the Medrash telling us all this? The Medrash is telling us that we have models throughout history that we should be looking towards to guide us in what the correct path is. The Gemara already says that what's the way to connect yourself to Hashem? It's by connecting yourself first to Talmidei Chachamim. Why? Why, if I connect myself to a Talmud Chacham, do I de facto connect myself to Hashem? So the answer is because by looking at a righteous individual, it creates the paradigm in my mind of how it is that I should behave. Right? Words, that's what allows me to come closer to Hashem. It's not just some like mystical voodoo, I stare at a Talmud Chacham, and therefore, bada bing, bada boom, I'm going to be connected to Hashem. No. By following the path of Talmidei Chacham and righteous individuals, I now have a model in my mind of how I should behave and how I should conduct myself. Right? That's why I love reading biographies. Because you learn a lot about yourself and your own behavior and human nature by reading other people's biographies. So the Torah says, we gave you biographies. It's called Sefer Bereishis, right? Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov and Yosef and Levi, right? All these people, that is your biography. Okay, Pasuk Gimel. Nafsho betov talin, vizaro yirash arz. Beautiful Pasuk. His soul betov talin, he will lay down in goodness. Vizaro yirash arz. And his children will inherit the land. What does it mean that my soul will lie down in goodness? Rashi says here, very morbidly, kishayalin bekever, that when you lay down in the grave, talin betova nafsho, it will be good for your soul. What does that mean, it'll be good for your soul? So what Rashi is telling us is that I have bad news for all of us, right? The day is going to come, right? Mankind is mortal. We are finite human beings. Right? But someone who is a Yirei Hashem, someone who connects themselves to eternality, someone who has filled their life with the goodness that we're going to speak about, so then it's nafsho betov talin. It's beneficial for their soul when they go down in the kever. Why? Because their soul is going to be so connected to Hashem. Right? That's the nechama, that's the comfort that we have, is that when we connect ourselves to eternality, we have this gift that other nations of the world simply don't have. And for so many, death is final, except for Jews. Well, we don't believe death is final. Death is a transition to a greater life. And therefore, that's why Rashi says, Kishayalin bekever, when you are put in the ground, betova nafsho, it's actually beneficial, it's good for your soul. And then David HaMelech says the following, Sod Adonai li'ireav, my secret I have given over to those who fear me, ubriso lahodiam, and I have told them about my covenant. What's this sod? What's the secret that we're talking about here? What's the secret? Right? So the Malbim points out, it's very obvious. Right? What was the last pasuk? Last pasuk was about, right, how death is not final, that we have a nefesh and a shama, something that we believe exists in eternality. So Hashem says, That's a secret I've given you, right? Shehem yodim sod hanefesh v'inyana, that we have this amazing gift. We know that there's something called a nefesh. We know that we don't just exist as physical human beings. We know that we don't just feed our physical beings, but we feed our neshamas as well. And therefore, that's a secret we have. That's the greatest gift Hashem ever gave us. Because now that we know that we have a neshama, now that we know that we have a soul, we can spend time nourishing that soul. And if we invest in nourishing our soul with spirituality and kedusha and Torah and davening, right, then it's betov talin. Right, that's a sod Hashem li'ireav. Hashem has given us a little secret of His, and we should be enormously appreciative of it. Pasuk 15. Einai tamid el Adonai. Again, that notion that my eyes are constantly towards Hashem. Ki hu yotzi me reshes raglai, because He protects me, takes me out of ensnaring nets. Pnei elai v'chaneni, my face is towards Him, and He has mercy on me. Ki yachid v'ani ani, because I am alone and I am impoverished. Okay? Tsaros levavi hirchivi, the pain of my heart is open wide. Mimtsuko saiho tsieni, from my distress, Hashem, may You save me. Re'e ani v'amali, please Hashem, see my suffering, see my hard work. V'sa l'chol chatosai, and again, and lift me up above all of my sins. Pasuk 19, Re'e oivai kirabu. Hashem, we come back now to the enemies. See that my enemies are numerous. V'sinas chamas sineuni. And my enemies, in their hatred, are violent against me. Again, unfortunately, we saw that rear its ugly head this morning again in Israel. Shamra nafshi v'atzileni. Pasuk 20, Hashem, save my soul. Al evosh ki chasisi bach. Hashem, don't let me be forsaken because I put my faith in You. Tom v'yosher yitzruni. Goodness and purity surround me. Ki kivisicha. Because I'm drawn towards You. So again, if you're noticing the theme, right? The theme is there are enemies that are surrounding David HaMelech, right? He's clearly questioning what the correct path should be, but he keeps on coming back to that notion that despite all this, Hashem, teach me Your ways because I'm drawn to You. You're my goal. You're my aspiration. You're what I'm ambitious for, not what they are driving me towards. And then Pasuk 22 is the summation of the entire chapter. Pidei Elohim es Yisrael mikol tzarosav. Redeem Hashem from all of their suffering. What do you notice immediately about Pasuk 22? Plural. Right? The whole chapter is in the singular until you get to verse 22, which is all of a sudden, out of nowhere, in the plural. What is that? What do you think the significance of that is? So I think it's very significant because I think that holds the key. Right? What I think this chapter really is a tefillah. It's a tefillah. It's a tefillah to Hashem. Right? It's a tefillah to Hashem for forgiveness. It's a tefillah to Hashem saving us from those around us that are trying to harm us. It's a tefillah to Hashem for eternality. That Hashem, there's so many things in this world which draw me away from You, which prevent me from focusing properly on You, which turn my attention in the wrong direction. Hashem, please allow me to always be drawn towards You. Please allow me to maximize my time in this world. Please allow me to be able to tap in to that eternality, right? Hashem, keep me on the right track. So what do we do in davening? Davening is a paradox, right? There's a dichotomy inherent in davening. That on the one hand, davening is a very individualized activity, right? Ultimately, when I step before Hashem in my Shmon Esrei, I'm an individual. I'm an individual standing before God, okay? And if that doesn't give you the shivers, then we don't really understand what it means. Then when you take those three steps, you're entering into a conversation with the Creator of the universe. And it's mano a mano, right? Lahavdil, right? But it's me in front of Hashem. And me alone in front of Hashem. On the other hand, we know that davening is the furthest from a individual activity as it comes. Number one is all of our davening is in the plural. Right? Davening by design, even though the words are said individually more often than not, but we have a concept called tzibur, of minyan, of berov am hadras melech. Now you're supposed to be with a lot of people when you daven. Right? So on the one hand, I'm an individual standing before God. On the other hand, I'm with a lot of people. I always envision it. I don't know if you guys remember. I don't know if they're still there. But there used to be a commercial for Verizon. And the whole, you know, upshot of the commercial was that a guy would come to the door, like the Verizon guy, and then it would pan out, and there would be like 300 people behind him. And the whole purpose of the commercial was like when the Verizon guy comes to your door, you're backed by this entire network, right? And there's this whole infrastructure that's there just to support you. So while you might just be interacting with Johnny Verizon, know that Johnny Verizon has this army of people that are all there to support you. Notice I chose Verizon, not Xfinity and Comcast. But yeah. right. So I that's how I kind of view davening. Right? When I open the door in my conversation with Hashem, so it's me in front of Hashem. But there's that awareness that all around you is the support team, is the army that's there with you. Right? I feel that the most profoundly on the Yom Narayim. For me, there's something about maybe it's the social hall where it's a little bit more compact and you feel people on top of you a little bit more. But I feel that. I really, and I try to feel that. When I come into Shmoneh Esrei and I envision, right? Again, I'm sitting at the front of the room. It's a little easier for me. But I'm coming before my conversation with Hashem. But I know that there's 400, 500 people around me. And you kind of feel them on your shoulders, right? That's the dichotomy of davening. That on the one hand, we're individuals and we have individual needs. But on the other hand, it's in the plural. It's minyan. It's Barov Amadras Melech. So I believe what David HaMelech is doing at the end of the chapter is he's specifically broadening the scope of his tefillah. Pedei Elokim Es Yisrael, because our tefillahs don't just exist for ourselves and for our own needs and our own wants and our own desires, but we have an obligation to connect ourselves to the Jewish people as a whole. So that's exactly what I believe David HaMelech is doing, right? The notion of davening is the same exact notion that David HaMelech is talking about this entire chapter. Right? What does he keep on saying? He keeps on saying over and over again that notion of kavo, that I'm drawn to you, Hashem, right? Why? Right? Because that's what davening is. Davening isn't just a once a day activity or even a three times a day activity. Davening is constant throughout our day. Davening can be when I'm at work and I'm about to go into a significant business meeting and I look up to Hashem and for a moment I ask him for something, right? Davening could be in the doctor's office, right? We daven throughout the day because it's a constant. It's a constant. So I think so many aspects of this chapter actually mimic what we do in davening. But I want to finish with one medrash, which I think is going to blow your mind away, the same way it blew my mind away. Remember I started off by saying that everything is in the alphabetical order, and again, there are exceptions. I know there's no kuf. Certain letters are missing, and for people that are excited by that, I'm happy to discuss that with you, but personally it didn't excite me too much. But it's clearly meant to be in some form or another alphabetical, okay? Alphabetical is because it's supposed to connote this A to Z mentality, right? So when you put something in alphabetical order and it's talking about connection to Hashem, it's because we devote ourselves to Hashem A to Z. Now, every aspect of my life is directed to you, Hashem. But if you recall, I said there's one pasuk that noticeably doesn't fit the prototype. And that is, well, the first one and the last one. The last one, at least, is still in the alphabetical. It's the first one that's totally out of bounds. All the Meforshim point out, L'David Elecha Hashem Nafshi Efsa, that my soul is drawn to you, Hashem. And we discussed it a little bit at the beginning, but now I want to tell you what the Medrash, says about this. And this I found amazing. This is the big reveal of the Parakatilim. Here we go. L'David Elecha Hashem Nafshi Efsa, to you, Hashem, my soul is lifted up. What Medrash oftentimes does is finds parallel language in other Pesukim in Tanakh and draws a comparison between them. So listen to the Pasuk that the Medrash draws a comparison to. Zehu she'amar ha'kasav. This is what the Pasuk meant. Biyomo titein scharo. Biyomon titein scharo means that what do you have to do? That you have to pay your workers on time. Okay, that is a mitzvah deraisa. If only every school in yeshiva in the world kept of this, but it's a mitzvah deraisa. It's a mitzvah deraisa that you have to pay your workers on time. What a strange connection, right? Let me ask you. Who would have drawn a connection between our parakatilim and paying your workers on time? Well, so hold on. So I wouldn't have drawn that connection, okay? So what does the Medrash say? Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeDavid. Hashem says to David, David, lama ata nosei nafshcha elai? Why are you raising your soul towards me? And I was like, why are you singing this song to me? Amar lo, says David HaMelech back, mimnei shani sachir ba'olamecha. Because I am your worker in this world. Shene emar ke'eved yishaf tzel ukasachir yikaveh po'alo. Right, like the worker yearns for his, or like the slave yearns for his salary, for his master, right? Uksi betzora, and it says in the Torah, biyomo sitein scharo, that you have to pay your workers on time. And what's the end of that pasuk? Right? Ve'elav hu nosei et nafsho. Whoa, that's the exact same words. Right? Why do you have to pay your worker on time, says the pasuk? Right? Ki anihu, because he is poor. Ve'elav hu nosei et nafsho. Because you and I both know that when you're waiting for that paycheck, right? It's all consuming. You can't think about anything else. You're yearning. Right? He's dependent. His life literally depends on it. Okay? So that's what the Medrash says. That's what David HaMelech says. Ima po'al hazeh, says David HaMelech. If this worker, the guy who mowed your lawn this morning, whatever it is, shu sachiro, who he's your employee, v'chayiv litein lo, and you're obligated to pay him, ve'ilav hu nosei es nafsho, and because you're obligated to pay him, he's yearning for you, he's craving for you. Anu, says David HaMelech, us, me, you, Jews, time immemorial, shenafshosenu tluyos becha, our neshamos, our nefesh, our souls are dependent on you, Hashem. Al achas kama v'kama. Then how much more are we yearning, are we craving for that relationship with you? What a beautiful medrash. Really, a beautiful medrash. And if you think about the picture that David HaMelech is painting of why Eilecha Hashem Nafshi Esa, that my soul is drawn to you, Hashem, what is that built on? What notion is that built on? That you and I are workers in this world. You and I have a job in this world. That if we woke up this morning, if Hashem gave us a heart to beat and lungs to breathe, it's because you and I have a job to fulfill, a mission to accomplish in this world. And we believe that ultimately Hashem will reward us for that mission. Hashem will pay us back for all of our effort and all of our work and all of our accomplishments in this world. But while you and I are here, and while there's, again, blood in our hearts and air in our lungs, it's because you and I have a job to accomplish. And as long as we have a job to accomplish, Eilecha Hashem Nafshi Esa, the same way a worker is yearning to the day where he's going to get that paycheck. Right, I know in the office, some of the people, they're like counting down the days until they get right? There's always the like emails that go around. Which day of the month do we get paid this, right? So we're yearning for that. We're yearning for that connection because we realize that our payback isn't in this world. Our payback is nitzchias. It's eternality. And that says David HaMelech is Eilecha Hashem Nafshi Esa. That's why we're ultimately yearning to Hashem. So what's this parakatilim about? This parakatilim, as I said, I boiled it down to four things: savior from those who are trying to harm you, forgiveness, an awareness of Hashem, and a request that Hashem puts us on the correct path. But I think most simply, it's a Perek Tehillim about making sure that our efforts and our mind are always directed in the right direction. That while we are in this world, and there are lots of things in this world that are geared to taking us away from what the important part of this world is, that we always yearn and we crave that connection to Hashem, that we have obligations, the same way David HaMelech had obligations, and we have to go through the physicality of life. That's obvious, right? God knew what he was creating when he created us. And yet you and I also know that we have an obligation to rise above that. And that ultimately is defined by that very first pasuk of Eilecha Hashem, we daven Hashem to you, nafshi esa, may our souls always be drawn. Everyone have a great week. Thank you.